because I'd win the contest and the prize was watermelon. I can't eat it. So I was always greatly liked. And imagine my shock when later on in life I found out you're not always well liked. And it's like, it doesn't matter what you do with watermelon. I want to talk about holding fast today. I'm not going to talk a long time. You say, yeah, you always say that. And it is one place where, you know, I'm still working on the lying thing. But that's another story. When we look at the kids and we listen to what they said, do you hear the thread? I mean, it's just an amazing thing to think that for kids, as well as adults, I mean, all of us, we have this thing that if we're holding on to something all the time, and we hang on to it really tight, a lot of times what we're doing is we can't receive anything else because we got something so tight. But when we let go, then we're able to receive something else. So it's kind of funny as I'm looking at my message going, okay, the title of the message is Holding Fast. Now, that's old language because hanging on tight might be a better wording these days. You go, well, how can you talk about holding on tight when it seems like what the kids are going through is actually letting go of stuff? Did you hear the ones? Yeah, you know, I was kind of like half-hearted. And I went there, and I was expecting this, but, you know, I already had this big thing. And, well, I wasn't really expecting that much. But then the Lord speaks to him and says, you know what? I have something for you. I have something for you. But you have to kind of be, like, open to something a little different than what you've been open to. And for all of us, that's where we have to live. So I want to start off today with 2 Timothy. Now you say, well, you're going to go to the Bible? Yeah, that's kind of where we have to go. And I want to take you through some scriptures. There are all sorts of different scriptures. And trust me, there's a lot more scriptures that address this. But I'm just kind of concentrating on these. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Hold fast. See, anytime you see that, what does it mean? Remember? Hang on tight, okay? Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Sound words. Do you realize that when Jesus talks to a kid or when he talks to an adult, he uses sound words? And you go, you mean like words that have sound? No. Words that mean something. They mean something. They're not just random things. They mean something. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We are entrusted with a good thing. We can always say, yeah, salvation. We'll spiritualize it. Salvation is very important, and it's very, very real. A lot of times our problem is we take the word spiritual, and by that we mean not real. I don't mean it that way. That which is spiritual is actually more real than anything else. But we take the good thing that God gives us that he has committed to us, and we forget to keep it by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. A lot of times we're grabbing onto things, and you can tell when this is you. You know how you know? Because we're trying to replay something that happened in the past. We're just trying to make it happen again. But that's not the Holy Spirit. That's you. We're supposed to keep what was committed to us, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Now, in the Word, there's a conceptual thread. I love words like that. You probably hate them, but that's okay. There's a conceptual thread. It's a thread of concept. It's a thought. It's a principle which runs through every part, and that is hold fast. Hang on tight. We are to hold fast to the pattern of sound words. We're to hold fast or keep what is good. Oddly enough, the word is the same. But here's some more. This is Hebrews 3, 4 through 6. For every house is built by someone. But he who built all things is God. We could stop there and just go home, but we'll keep on going. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Some of us have the idea that, well, you know, I've been a Christian a while, it's not that big a deal. Well, you know, whoa, what does this say? If we are part of his house, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. There's something about hanging on and holding on tight to the things of God. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hang on tight to that confession. We see that we have a great high priest. We see that that is Jesus. He's passed through the heavens. We need to hold that confession. And a lot of times we get sloppy with this stuff. Well, you know, it was yesterday. Yeah, it was so yesterday. Revelation 2:13, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name. You hang on tight to my name. And did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Revelation 2:25, but hold fast what you have till I come. Now there's a lesson for us. Hang on tight to what you have. Because a lot of us can say that in the past we had something, but we kind of lost it or something. You know, that's one of the greatest dangers about camp or an experience, a mountaintop experience with the Lord. So happens that Old Oak Ranch is on a kind of a mountaintop. But we get this idea that, you know, that was then, this is now, so what? Move on. Don't do it. Hang on tight to what you have. Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how you received and how you heard. Hold fast and repent. Now, this is an odd thing that we talk about holding on and hanging on tight and all these things, and then we throw this word repent in, and repent is kind of an old-fashioned word. And we think, well, yeah, but that's not for this modern age. I got news for you. If you're going up the wrong road, and those of you who heard me last week know that I went up a wrong road. Do you know that if I had done what repentance is, I would have turned around and gone back and not gone through some of the experiences, call them the school of hard knocks, that I had to go through. And the same thing is true for you. If you will hold fast what you have and repent, therefore, if you'll not watch, I'll come upon you as a thief, and you'll not know what hour I come upon you. It's like we lose complete awareness of what God is doing, and we only have so much time. That's what this is saying. He'll come upon us like a thief, and we'll go, hey, what just happened? That's what happened. Revelation 3:11, behold, I'm coming quickly. Jesus is saying this. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. See, we think sometimes in terms of rewards. Sometimes we think in terms of very odd things. Hey, you know, I'm a self-made man. Kind of wonder if that's really a brag or not, but that's another story. Hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. But there's an aspect of this which is very disturbing. What constitutes holding fast? What does that mean? How do we hold fast? What does it mean? Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25 say this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Without wavering. This week I had the occasion to lift a couple of shelves. And you know, any of us can lift here. And I wish I could say that as I lifted it up above my head, man, it was just buff. It was good looking stuff. No, this is weird. This thing was so doggone heavy, it started to waver. And it's got sharp edges because it's laminate. And it's kind of doing this. And the guy lifting with me is 12 inches shorter than I am. Do you know who gets to hold the weight as this happens? And I'm not holding it very good. Maybe you can see yourself. So talking about holding fast your confession of your hope without wavering, but there's a reason why. For he who promised is faithful. See, Jesus is faithful. But then verse 24, let us consider one another. Katanoeo. Everybody say that, katanoeo. That's good. You guys are Greek scholars now. See, we consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, verse 25 is very important for us to get. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. You ever known those people? Well, you know, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be around other Christians. I don't need, I'm fine the way I am. You're up, really? This is not what this says. but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Watch this. I'm not hearing any audio, though.
Share your feelings, discuss your past, confess your sins. Are you just looking for a place to kick it? Network. Maybe get some free grub. Me too. That's why I created what I believe to be the world's first openly shallow small group. We're not here to deal with messy stuff like feelings and emotions. You got problems? You deal with them. You're an adult. Life ain't easy. So stop the pity party. We all have our issues. We don't really want to do life together. Frankly, at Shallow Small Group, we try not to do much of anything at all. You'll never hear us use the term unpack that thought. We're sure it's packed away for a really good reason. And you'll never hear us use the term accountability unless you're talking about someone who deals with numbers. Hey, dude, thanks for doing my taxes. You have great accountability. And spiritual growth? Who wants growth? I had a growth removed last week. It wasn't pleasant. There's no pressure here to remember each other's name.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, hey, man. How's it going?
That's good.
Yeah,
hey,
Chief.
Oh, dude.
Captain, what's going on?
We know you have a name, and that's the important thing. Group discussion? You got tickets to the big game? Sweet. Let's spend some time on that. Oh, you and your wife are struggling financially? There's tension in the relationship? That's not really the vibe we're going for. We avoid conflict like the plague.
Who wants cake?
Come on and get it!
And there will never, ever be an awkward silence. That's our guarantee to you. We hate bad theology as much as the next guy, and we know the surest way to prevent bad theology is to avoid theology altogether. And outreach? This is the only outreach you'll ever have to do. Some people say we're superficial. But hey, the word super isn't superficial. I mean, who doesn't want to be super? Shallow small group. Because when things get too deep, people drown. Won't you join us?
See, one of the prime ways to know if someone is holding fast is the way in which they relate to the church, the body of Christ. They consider one another. That word in Greek is katanoeo. That's why I had to say that. They consider one another. That word means to behold, to consider, to discover, or perceive. Kind of behold, consider, discover, perceive. But it's not long-distance fellowshipping. It's not detached. That guy's detached. Okay? But that's not what we want to do. You say, well, I kind of like that. Hey, there are times I like it too. But you know what? It doesn't do any good. It does not do any good. These people actually get to know one another. They consider one another. We're not to forsake the assembling of one another. This is not just anyone but Christians, and not just for any purpose, but for the purpose of getting to know and be known fully. Fully. Now, here's a little thing. It's all up to you. But see, it's up to you in your marriage too, isn't it? Because you can be known as much as you really want to be known. Gary and I have joked for years. I told you I loved you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. But that's not being known, is it, really? I mean, it's a nice joke. It sounds funny. It might not be as funny as if you're one of our wives, but that's okay. You know, we'll deal with that, and we'll take that hit later. But the idea is that you really can be known, but it's totally up to you how much. Some of us go through, and we're just really solid. Have you checked out? Maybe you don't do this. I read the news. I know it's, you know, my name's Ted. I'm a news addict. But I have to admit, I came by it kind of honestly. I started ripping and reading news in a radio station from a UPI machine, and UPI does not exist anymore. This is a thing, just spit out paper with news stories, and I had to read them on the air. And so you get to be kind of hooked on news. What's going on? Because the whole world is coming through this little machine. It was really cool. But I read the news, and I'm reading about some of these stars, these really famous people from Hollywood, you know, like back in the day, before my time, I want you to know that. And I'm reading going, these people had all sorts of secrets. They weren't at all what was presented on the screen. Now, some of them were. You know, Jimmy Stewart, great guy. I mean, he was who you think he was, and more. But there are other ones you go, whoa, this is weird stuff. They weren't known. They weren't known. And we sometimes come into that same exact thing where we're not known and we're happy just to keep it that way. Thank you very much. And we see it husband to wife. Sometimes we don't really know each other. And we figure, you know, that's okay. Yeah, it's great until the kids move out. They say, who are you again? But we come to a place like church, and trust me, there's probably nobody on the face of the earth knows that in a room even this size, you can't be intimate with everybody. And for you to kind of go, hey, I want you to know everything about me in a room this size full of people, don't do it. That's just weird. It won't work. But in a smaller group, it works rather well. And that is exactly what we're supposed to do, oddly enough. Now, it's not supposed to be a shallow, small group like what we just saw. But some of us would rather have that. See, we're supposed to exhort one another. That means, you know, build each other up. Maybe even say the thing that's kind of hard to say. But it's out of place from a distance. It's out of place from distance-induced lack of relationship. You know, the farther away you are, the easier it is to look like you have a relationship, but you don't really. And sometimes we're like that with Jesus Christ. We act as if he's like our best bud, and we don't even know him. You say, well, but does he know us? Well, that's a good question, because there is that little scripture. It's a little bit daunting, a little scary. Depart from me because I never knew you. That's a little scary. But we get together for the purpose of getting to know and be known fully. And there's no allowable excuse for anyone who calls themselves a Christian to abstain from being with other Christians in stirring up love and good works. We're to exhort one another. We're to lift each other up because we do know each other. It's really an important thing. We do obey his instructions to hold fast our confession of our hope without wavering. We continue to confess or talk about our hope in Jesus Christ. And it's not enough to just believe in your heart. You know, sometimes I hear that as a pastor. You hear, well, you know, God knows my heart. I want to run because he really does. And it's usually not pretty. But the person saying it may have even convinced themselves that they're speaking something that's really cool. But see, salvation is accomplished without our works, but it's lived out in joyfully accomplishing the works that God prepared for beforehand, that we should walk in them. You say, I'm not quite sure how that works. Okay, let me try to explain this. When I say to my wife, I love you, by the way, this is my wife. Be 41 years in October. I had to think about that a second. And she loves me. I love her. I know her. She knows me. There are some surprises that go along, but that's okay. Do you realize that if I want to do something nice for her, I don't do it so I can get something back? You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, like at work, well, I'll make a big splash of this, and they'll know that I really care. Or your friends, it's like, well, I'll kind of do this. You know, I've got some money here. I'll spread it. Whatever it might be. Try doing something you don't expect something back. That is exactly what salvation is. Because when Jesus died for us, it wasn't looking like an exchange where, well, you know, I'll die for you guys, but, you know, hey, you need to come through. No, read your Bible. It says that God so loved the world. Notice, it didn't say so loved the Christians. So loved the world, the whole thing, the whole mess. That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you've all heard that verse. But we don't think about it. We think, well, yeah, you know, that's me, and there I am, and I'm good. Really? Did you really read it and see who it's for? So these works that he prepared for you to do, we do not because we want to earn something, but because we have received something. That's very important. And it gives us a commonality. It gives us something we have in common. They're not just general nice things. Random acts of kindness. No. Not random at all. Acts of kindness, not a bad thing, but they're not random. These are the work of God as he reveals them, that his kingdom can advance. Did you know that? He's going to use you to advance his kingdom. That each one of us would grow in faith and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go, that sounds a little far-fetched. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16. He says, that we should no longer be children. Now, there's nothing against kids. We love kids. We love kids. In fact, we read in the Bible that Jesus called children to himself and says, of such is the kingdom of heaven. So there's a thing about kids that's really cool. But as we grow older, we're not children anymore, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, ta-da, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. We sometimes get into this weird thing that they don't need us. God doesn't need us. And it's like, true, God in his person doesn't need us. But he uses us, whoever you are, for the purposes that he has for you. In the same way that every joint supplies, it's knit together. Our body, the body of Christ, is knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. You ever tried to do the thing you weren't good at? God's not calling you to do that. Isn't that cool? You say, well, what about growth? There is that. Sometimes you're not as good as something, you have to grow in it. I understand that concept. But like I try to tell people, look, there's areas where I'm really gifted, and the other spots are a hole. It's empty. There's nothing there. And I have a feeling I'm not just the only person like that. But we'll spend our whole lives trying to be something that we're not, and it just flat doesn't work. So what we want to do is we want to be a body, a whole body that's joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. We could actually branch off in a little different direction there, couldn't we? Because we know that that does its share might not be the most exemplary thing that people would speak of us. You know, you think about your funeral. Okay, and the people come, what are they going to say about you? Well, hopefully they'll say, you know, he always did his share, always did her share. But they may not say that. And some of us live in a way that we just kind of ignore that part because we don't care if we do our share. That wasn't meant to be rhyming, but, you know, take it as it is. But it says, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, the building up of itself in love. See, if everything's working right the way it's supposed to be, the way you were designed to, and you're knit together doing that, the whole body grows and becomes stronger and better of itself in love. So none of us can make that excuse that says, I just don't have to go to church, I don't have to be around other Christians, I don't have to grow in Jesus, or the ever popular, hey, I can go out in the wilderness and meet God. You know what? I work for wildlife. Now, it sounds funny. You know, some of you are thinking, oh, you work for animals? No, I mean, I work for the Department of Wildlife. I do radio work, as many of you now know. And you know, I have been out in the wilderness, and I sensed the presence of God. There was one night, Cliff and I were together. We were out towards Jack's Peak, which is north of Elko, about 42 miles, something like that. We're driving back. We stop and look up, and what was it, Cliff? October, it was a pretty cold time of year. And we look up and there's a million billion stars. It's like, buddy, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to praise God. Just raise my hand and start praising God. I met God right there, but it does not take away the need that even I have to be with you. We need to be together. I'm not saying don't worship God when you see something beautiful. You better, but it's not enough. We need to not neglect the assembling together of ourselves. It's not good enough to do the wilderness thing. And then we think about those words again. Depart from me, I never knew you. Don't those words hold any terror for you? They do for me. Go, whoa, that's not where I want to be. See, our Christian life is just that. It's life. It's life. We sometimes miss that. We think it's something else. You know, we have a Christian life and the other life. No, you have one life. Our entire life is to be given over to the Lord for His purposes. Our spouse, our children, brothers, sisters, friends, they're all important, no doubt about it. But they pale in comparison to the importance of close ketanoeo fellowship with Him and with other Christians. See, a lot of times we have this thing. Well, you know, Jesus knows my heart. I fellowship with Him all the time. I don't need the rest of these people. Really? Have you ever read this book? It didn't say that. Now, the people that went to camp know this. I want you to realize they have been forged together. It would be really cool if over the next 15 years, they got to see each other every day like they did at camp. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen. So their fellowship tends to get more spread out. There might be one or two, maybe three, that, you know, that's forged, it'll never end. But a lot of times it does. But there's another place where you could actually choose to hang together and be together. Why is this important? Because, see, holding on to the head is really important. Now, you all know that if your head comes off your body, you're pretty much what they describe clinically as dead. It doesn't work too good. We have seen reports lately of chickens that were running around without heads. Maybe so, but you're not a chicken. Okay? Understand. So we are dead without Jesus. He's the head of the church. The church is dead without Him. But I got news. You are too. And some of us, we give as much regard to Jesus being our head as a chicken does. We go about doing chicken things. And if we can't peck, oh, well, I'll just run. And we run until it gives up, and we go, well, that was pretty cool. No, it wasn't. Why? Because you didn't have a head. You know, something about chickens running around without heads that we even use it as a kind of a word thing. You know, we're running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Really? There may be a few of you who have seen this. Most of you have not. Why do we use the expression? And what can we learn from it? Well, if you're a chicken, I guess you can learn a few things from it. But I want you to pick up the fact that you're dead without Jesus as your head. You're dead. You're dead if the head is cut off from the body, and you're dead if you're cut off from the body. Remember, you're one of those joints. And one of the things that we learn, and it's very elementary first aid, is, you know, if you get a little cut, you should take care of it. If you lose a leg, I'm really amazed. You know, the peace officers that I run around with, they have been issued tourniquets. And I go, a tourniquet? My gosh. He says, yeah, but if you get shot in the femoral artery, you'll bleed out. Oh, so you're not as concerned about keeping the leg. No, you know, better to be alive and be without a leg than, you know, dead and have one. Wow, hadn't thought about that. But we don't think about it in terms of Jesus being our head. And what we have to do to stay alive, we have to be connected to Him. And a lot of times, we don't want what He has. I'm being very honest here. Human relationships are really important. And so I'm not saying to go abandon your spouse or your children or become a church ornament. But in all truth, most of us are really a long way from that particular danger. So here's something I've noticed. Getting together in small groups is very hard for each of us to do. Well, look at this church. We've had small groups. Do we have a majority of people involved? No, not typically. We need to change that. We need to change that. Getting together in small groups is very hard, but there's more reasons or excuses about this than almost any other issue of life. Did you know that for many people, and you might be one of these, Sunday morning church is the only time you even think about God? Now, of course, none of us here fall into that trap at all. It's convenient, isn't it? We go to church. Ah, it's God time. Okay. an hour, hour and a half, maybe a little longer goes by. Got that covered. And we check it off. And that's all the time we need to think about God all week. And I got news for you. That even though that's true of many people, that Sunday morning is the only time that they can get together with Christians. This is not what you want to do. There's another way, a better way. Watch this.
Oh, come on. Come on, come on. You got to be kidding me. Come on, you walk right into that. You turn around, pivot. He's right behind you. Oh.
You watching the game?
Oh, no, honey. I gave up on all that violence on television. I'm actually watching a pride of lions surround a zebra and eat him whole.
Ew.
I know. Come on. Would you stick with your people? Come on. Join the group.
He's all alone.
Yeah, you know, that's what the lions do, babe. You know, if you're there with the pack, they can't get you. But if you're alone like this chump, you are dead meat.
Ew.
Ew.
Oh! Speaking of tonight, maybe since you're between me and the automobile, maybe you could go make yourself useful, go fetch me some sushi. You could keep a change.
Hmm.
Not tonight. They'll be here in 30 minutes.
What are you talking about? Who will be here in 30 minutes?
Our church small group. What's wrong?
What makes you think something's wrong? Nothing's wrong. I can't. I'm sick. I can't. I'm not
what?
Feeling. I can't do. I have to go to work. I have to go to the office. I have a report. I have a work report. I have to do my BFF report.
TPS report?
Yes, I have my TRL report. It's due.
Okay. I know it's difficult for you to be vulnerable and connect with the group, but this is important.
Words in my mouth. I made it crystal clear. This is not about that. It is about my TRL report.
TPS report.
BYOB. Yes, just because
okay.
I don't know the name.
One day you're going to realize you need community. You can't keep doing life alone.
I am not alone. I have the television. I have Cheetos.
I have the internet.
Fine. If you're going to skip out on me, I have a job for you.
So you're saying you're going to let me skip out on you?
He's a middle school principal.
Yeah, I was like, she likes
it.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
Out for 2 weeks.
The same man when he was like little brother?
You want to hear that.
Okay.
It's so great to be here and be able to connect without the kids.
I know. It has been a long day.
Yeah.
Especially.
All right, let's get started, okay? Thanks.
Oh, wait. Where's Jay?
Like you said, it is so nice to connect without the kids.
Oh. Right.
I just want to thank you for this time we were able to connect with you and to connect with each other.
See, it isn't healthy just to be alone. In fact, a lot of times it's fatal. But we don't think of it that way. We think of it, it's just another night, another day, another time. And see, usually we're not catanoeo with anybody. We're not really close, even to those that we should be closest to. And oftentimes we use our human relationships as an excuse to avoid catanoeo, fellowship, that closeness. In reality, we don't value the human relationships we have as much as we value ourselves. But see, that's only the shadow of what we do regarding God. We escape into limited human relationships instead of cultivating a vital Cananoeo relationship with the one who loves us most of all. See, it's symptomatic. If you are familiar with plants and you think about certain types of trees that you don't eat, you use a systemic pesticide. With roses, you use a system, because not too often do we eat roses. You know, we use this pesticide, gets sucked up by the roots and goes all the way through it. So we have a systemic problem. We not only don't fellowship with one another, but we hold God at arm's length. The one who loves us most of all. And to whom we owe our eternal gratitude. Literally. Now, just in case you're wondering, Sunday morning, what we're doing right now, is all about falling in love with Jesus more and more, no matter where you're at. You may have been walking with him for years and years. You might not have started walking with him yet, and it's okay. The idea is that you fall in love more with Jesus. Now, it doesn't take the place of Cananoeo. You understand this? Really getting to know each other in Jesus in life. This idea that somehow it's one or the other. It's kind of my option. See, our friend that we watched that's running from all those kids, and the parallel there, you know, it's cute, it's funny. And we think that somehow he was a dummy, he got caught. Never happened to us, right? That's what we always think. It impacts each one of us. You have to have people who you fellowship with, who you're close to. So, here's the deal. No matter what age you are, you really need this. Doesn't matter how long you've been with the Lord or haven't been, you really need this. And so we will be having small groups, a variety of them. Don't be standoffish. It's something we all need. Every one of us needs it. And you'll find that some of them will have an emphasis that maybe you need in your life. Some of them will have an emphasis. It's like, you know what? I'm not really sure why I'm there. Did you know where leaders come from? I'll bet you some of you actually think that leaders are born, not made. That's absolutely false and wrong. Never happened in the history of the world. Every leader is made, not born. Where do you think they learned that? I'm always amazed in jobs, you know, because they pay you a salary and people come and they do their work because they get paid, and then they think that they're great leaders. It's like, no, you're just paying the person. I'll tell you, when you have something where people have an option of coming, that's when you know you're a leader or not, when they have a choice. And it's not about getting paid or not. So what is it that God is calling you to do? How do we reduce this to possession? How do we make this something we can have? Okay, here's the simple thing. We watched some videos. Shallow, small group. And we all laughed. And some of you are thinking, I'd rather have that than maybe none at all would be good. You're totally wrong. But your argument is not with God. Or excuse me, not with us, not with me. Your argument is with God. We watch this one, and we see this whole thing where the guy, you know, he can't even remember what kind of report he's supposed to do. He just doesn't want to go. Can we relate? Of course we can. But is that what we're supposed to be? Who do you think grew more in the Lord? The guy underneath all the kids? Now, I will admit that he learned a lesson, but I'm not sure he grew in the same sense, did he? You guys went to camp. You go, you eat food, get some sleep, wake up, do it all over again. Is that what made the difference in your lives? No. It's encountering God. It's being open to whatever he might have for you in the company of those who know you. Because there's a funny thing about camp. Somehow they know you. Sometimes you tell them. Other times they just find out by watching. But you're together. Now, there's a There's a concept. So I want to encourage you, every one of you, to not be standoffish. Now, sometimes the small group you're in is not a small group that your church puts forward. And for some of you, you're thinking, oh, there's my excuse. Okay, I can do that. It might be rare. And sometimes it's kind of a specialty thing, and it's okay. Because not everything happens at church. But this is one of those things where just maybe the majority of us need to be involved at this level, in this place, in this way. Why? Because otherwise we end up like the clown under the kids. That's why we think we don't need it. We somehow convince ourselves. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you so much that you have given us this way, this Kenanoeo way of being accountable, even being known to know others. Lord, we need to know you. That's so true. And we find that as we move towards you, that you actually know us intimately. You know us inside and out. You know us exactly where we're at, and you meet us there. But your word also calls us to holding fast, and it equates that hanging on to tightly to being with other people who are in the same boat. Each one of us different, but each one of us holding on. If you're here today and you're not even sure that God exists,